This is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
I was feeling kind of peaked last night. I needed a doctor or a pharmacist or a government bureaucrat or somebody to help me feel a little bit better. But I just decided to go to bed, turn on the television, and go to sleep at 8 o'clock. And I watched President Obama talking about national health care. And not everybody is buying it, including some Democrats. And we're going to be talking to a couple of them today. But I want to know from you. You listened last night, or you saw the recap this morning of our president talking about his plan for national health care. Do you think Christians ought to be concerned about this one way or the other? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should Christians think about having a national health care system, and how should Christians think about reforming the health care industry that we have right now in the USA, which I think almost all of us can agree is broken when you have so many people who are uninsured or underinsured? I don't think there's that much of a dispute about whether or not we need to do something. It's simply, what should we need to do? What could we do to change it and turn it around without making the situation worse? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should Christians be concerned about national health care, and should Christians get on board with President Obama with his national health care plan? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about national health care today. Of course, last night, President Obama spoke to the country in his press conference and talked about the need, as he sees it, an urgent need for the Congress to adopt a national health care plan. This is what President Obama had to say.
And that's why I've said that even as we rescue this economy from a full-blown crisis, we must rebuild it stronger than before. And health insurance reform is central to that effort. This is not just about the 47 million Americans who don't have any health insurance at all. Reform's about every American who has ever feared that they may lose their coverage if they become too sick, or lose their job, or change their job. It's about every small business that has been forced to lay off employees or cut back on their coverage because it became too expensive. And it's about the fact that the biggest driving force behind our federal deficit is the skyrocketing cost of Medicare and Medicaid.
Well, President Obama says we've got a major crisis when it comes to national health care, and he says let's have a national health care program that will take care of people who are uninsured, that will change the cost of health care in the United States of America. But one of the issues lurking behind the discussion about national health care is, what is exactly going to be counted as health care? Is that going to include abortion? President Obama was asked about that with Katie Couric, and this is what he said.
Do you favor a government option that would cover abortions?
You know, what I think is important at this stage is not trying to micromanage what benefits are covered, because I think we're still trying to get a framework, and my main focus is making sure that people have the options of high-quality care at the lowest possible price. As you know, I'm pro-choice, but I think we also have a tradition of, in this town, historically, of not financing abortions as part of government-funded health care. And rather than wade into that issue at this point, I think that it's appropriate for us to figure out how to just deliver on the cost savings and not get distracted by the abortion debate at this stage.
I don't even know what he's talking about. I really don't. I'm not saying that in a critical kind of way. I don't know what he is saying. He says, we have a tradition of not paying for abortion. Of course, there is that tradition. It's called law since the Hyde Amendment in the late 1970s, variously brought back and forth by Democratic Congresses and presidents and Republican Congresses and presidents back and forth. But he isn't answering the question, will you have a national health care system that is going to fund abortion? And there are some presidents, there are some congressmen, who disagree with the president on this issue, and many of them are Democrats. The Blue Dog Democrats used to be Yellow Dog Democrats back in my old stomping grounds in the Deep South. There were a group of people who said they were yellow dogs, meaning they'd vote for a yellow dog before they would vote for a Republican. And the Blue Dogs were people who were saying they'd been strangled till they were blue by the National Democratic Party, these moderate to conservative Democrats. They're concerned about national health care, and some of them have just issued a letter to Speaker Pelosi saying they want to make sure that she understands that it is imperative that the issue, I'm quoting directly from the letter here, from these Democratic members of Congress, it is imperative that the issue of abortion not be overlooked. Plans to mandate coverage for abortions, either directly or indirectly, is unacceptable. Now, of course, that's not the only issue facing some of these conservative Democrats. It's also the cost. It's also whether or not a national health care system will create rationing, in which you are saying, well, you know, you're an 85-year-old lady. Do you really need a hip replacement? We don't think so. We're going to instead have a better use of our funds with somebody else. That's a concern, including for some Democratic members of Congress. We're going to be talking here in a few minutes with a couple of these Democrats who are concerned about the ethical implications of national health care, as well as the monetary implications of national health care. But I want to know from you, do you think Christians ought to have a position on national health care? And if so, what should we think about? Do you agree with President Obama? You know, there are some people saying this is a moral issue. Because you have so many people who are uninsured, let's insure them. We've got the power of the United States government to do that, so let's do it. What are you concerned about when you hear the country talking about national health care? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'd love to hear from you. In a few minutes, I'm going to hear from my old boss, United States Congressman Gene Taylor. I used to work for him years ago, think a lot of him. And when I served with Congressman Taylor, I was well to his left, especially on these economic issues and health care issues. I remember I was a 20-year-old idealistic young guy, and I thought the government ought to simply cover everybody's health care and that you ought to have a massive minimum wage. Congressman Taylor had a little bit more realistic view of the situation at that time and tutored me on some of those realities. Maybe he'll talk to us with some of that common sense here in just a few minutes. What do you think about national health care? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, some other items in the news. President Obama did not simply talk about health care last night. He also talked about the issue of the arrest of Harvard scholar Henry Louis Gates Jr. in his own Cambridge, Massachusetts home. And President Obama said that the police who arrested him, quote, acted stupidly. Now, that's gotten him into a little bit of trouble with the police union there in Cambridge, saying, President Obama, you just don't understand the whole situation. Even Bill Cosby says that President Obama shouldn't have spoken to that so quickly. I disagree. I'm with President Obama on this. I think that when a man is arrested going into his own home, I just think it's too much of a coincidence to say all of this happened and it had nothing to do with racial factors. Could be, but it seems suspicious to me. I agree with President Obama. There should be an apology here. And in other news, also dealing with President Obama, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, reported to have baptized, I'm putting that in quotes, President Obama's ancestors, his mother and his father and some of his other ancestors back in Kenya. And the church is not speaking to that issue right now. They're declining to comment, and so is the White House. But, of course, the Mormon church believes that they can posthumously baptize people and that that will have some bearing on their future eternal life. Well, eternal life is a pressing issue. not in a Mormon sense, but in a Christian sense. But before we get to eternal life, we have temporal life and temporal health and temporal health care. How should we as Christians think about the health care crisis? Do you think there is a crisis? What do you think about national health care? And what do you think about President Obama's plan for national health care? How should a Christian think about this? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and let's talk about it. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we are talking today about a fever that is supposedly rushing over this country for national health care. President Obama has spoken to the country about this last night, and I want to know from you, do you support a national health care program? And if so, what are your concerns about it? What should it look like? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, I have on the line Kristen Day, who is the executive director of Democrats for Life of America, a pro-life Democratic group. She is the author of a book called Democrats for Life, Pro-Life Policies and the Silenced Majority. And I think a lot of Kristen Day and of her work in Washington, D.C., and I am really, really glad to have courageous pro-life people in both parties working to see to it that unborn children are not forgotten in all of our policy discussions and disputes. Kristen Day, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Well, thank you so much. It's just a pleasure to talk to you today.
I am looking right now at a letter that has been written to Speaker Pelosi by a group of Democratic members of Congress, including my old boss, Gene Taylor of Mississippi, who will be with us here in just a few moments. And the letter says, we want to make sure everybody understands that the issue of abortion cannot be overlooked with national health care coverage. Can you explain to us what these members of Congress are concerned about?
Well, we just appreciate the good work of Congressman Gene Taylor and, you know, all the pro-life Democrats in Congress who have really stepped up to the plate and have done a tremendous job of leading this effort on health care reform to make sure that any national health care plan does not mandate nor fund abortion. And I think that a lot of people are confused about this because they can point to the bill and say, well, there's nothing in the bill that says abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, legal precedent has sided with the other side on this. And if it's not mentioned specifically that it shouldn't be funded, then it is.
Mm-hmm.
So the devil is in the details when you look at this. And because it's not mentioned doesn't mean it's not there.
Now, President Obama spoke with Katie Couric not long ago, and she asked the question, will abortion be funded in your national health care program? And he seemed to prevaricate. He didn't really say. He said, we have a tradition of not funding abortion. I'm pro-choice. And it sounded, as one person put on my website not long ago, said it sounded almost as though he is saying what he said to Rick Warren, this is above my pay grade. How do you think the president is going to come down on this issue?
Well, I would hope that he would, he's talked about reducing abortion in this country. And, it's been, even I think on the Guttmacher Institute's report, shows that when you fund abortion goes up. So, you know, we're working really hard with the pro-life Democrats in Congress to make sure that the leadership and the president understand that a majority of the country is against public funding of abortion and it shouldn't be included in this health care. And I think because of the overwhelming support, I'm hoping that we'll ultimately prevail in this and take this issue out of the health care bill.
Now, of course, when we say pro-life, I think, Kristen, you and I would both agree that doesn't simply refer to the unborn, but it's a whole life ethic. Should we also be concerned about rationing of care to the elderly and to those who are terminally ill in any national health care program that is adopted?
Right. I think absolutely. I think we are a consistent life organization, and all these issues have to be explored and to make sure that we're providing the best care for people. Both born and unborn, and, you know, at all stages of life, to make sure that if people need medication that they can get it. We have to look at the whole bill to make sure that all these life issues are protected in the bill. Obviously, the number one thing we're focusing on right now is the abortion issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just last week in Congress, we had 39 Democrats vote against public funding of abortion,
mm-hmm.
and that wasn't even on a clear vote.
Yeah.
Whether or not it was about public funding of abortion. So I expect if there was an up or down vote, it would be even higher. So I think that the leadership is taking the pro-life Democrats seriously and listening and trying to come up with some sort of solution to take, and we hope to take this off the table.
Most of the pro-life Democrats that you're working with right now, Kristen, is this a non-negotiable? Are these Democrats who are saying, we really don't think there should be abortion funding, but if we lose that, we're still going to support a national health care plan? Or are most of these pro-life Democrats saying, if you go past this line, we're not going to go with you?
Well, yeah, I think Congressman Bart Stupak from Michigan and Congressman Dan Boren from Oklahoma circulated a letter where 20 pro-life Democrats signed on.
Mm-hmm.
And, we had a quick deadline, so we probably would have got more. But they made it very clear that if there is public funding of abortion or any mandates, they're not voting for it. So they drew the line in the sand and they're not budging. And we're so proud of them for their effort and all their hard work and standing up for the little ones.
Okay. Well, what would you encourage people out there in the grassroots, whether Democrat or Republican, to do as they think through this issue of national health care, as their members of Congress are talking, if they're concerned about life issues as they relate to national health care, what should they do?
Well, I think everyone should immediately call or write or email their representative and their senators and make it clear that we do not support public funding of abortion nor mandates in the health care bill, and urge them to oppose the bill unless this is taken out. And also to make sure the leadership knows as well. This is a critical issue. It could be a big turning point if we pass a bill with public funding of abortion. It'll be not a good thing for the country if we're making every man, woman, and child finance abortion.
All right. Thank you very much, Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America. Kristen says we ought to be concerned, Democrats and Republicans, to make sure that unborn children aren't collateral damage in any debate over national health care. I agree with her 100%. And I think that there are all kinds of issues that we don't put together sometimes. That, as Kristen said, if the bill doesn't speak to abortion at all, that means it will fund abortion, just based on the precedent that we've seen in the past. What we need is a bill that explicitly says no funding will go for abortion. You know, I remember a quote many, many years ago by Al Gore when he was running for president the first time in 1988, and he said, we shouldn't fund what is arguably the taking of a human life. We shouldn't force people whose consciences are opposed to abortion to fund what is arguably, he says at that time, the taking of a human life. I think that question needs to be at the forefront right now. We're talking about national health care, not only for unborn children, but also for weak, elderly, terminally ill people who could see their care rationed. These things need to be thought through right now. What do you think? When you think about President Obama's plans for national health care, how do you think about that as a Christian? What should we be praying about and thinking through? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I'll be right back with my old boss, Congressman Gene Taylor, Democrat of Mississippi. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we're talking today about health care reform. President Obama laid out his vision for health care reform and national health care last night in his press conference, and I want to know what you think we should do about health care reform. Do you agree with President Obama's solution? Does it concern you? Why? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But before we take your calls, I have a very special guest with us today, my old boss in my life before ministry, United States Congressman Gene Taylor, Democrat of Mississippi. I love him. I fully enjoyed every minute of working with somebody with this kind of integrity and this kind of grit. And he's showing both of these things again right now as it applies to health care reform and national health care. Gene Taylor, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, Russ, and you're in the fishing terms, you're the great one that got away. I would have loved to have had you working in the office still, but you had a higher purpose in life.
Well, it's so great to talk to you again. I'm wondering what you think about the president's press conference last night.
Russ, I got to be honest with you. I did not watch it. I don't think that press conference or any number of press conferences could have convinced me to vote for it. Not that there aren't problems with the healthcare system, because there are.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when a nation's already $11 trillion in debt, when we are in the process of running a $1 trillion annual operating deficit right now,
mm-hmm.
if someone can't explain to me how this is going to pay for itself, then I have a very simple expression. If something's worth doing, it's worth paying for. If
mm-hmm.
it's not worth paying for, then it's not worth doing. And they're not showing me how they're going to pay for this.
Now, you have always been really concerned about budget deficits. I remember when we were in that campaign in 1989, and we had those signs around the goat out
yep.
there, a really low budget campaign and a low budget national deficit is what you were calling for at that time and still are. What about those who would say, well, not doing anything is going to be more expensive than national health care?
Well, I'm not saying don't do anything, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
If I was king, and I'm not,
mm-hmm.
but if I was king and could walk on the House floor and say, guys, this is what we need to do, there are three simple things we can do right now
mm-hmm.
to stretch our Medicare dollars and see to it that that program is self-funded a lot longer. Right now it's scheduled to no longer be self-funding come 2017.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is a much greater use of generic drugs. We as a nation, I'm very fortunate in that one of my other great employees, a guy named Bill Felder, came from the pharmaceutical industry. He was actually in the manufacturing end. He's a chemist.
Mm-hmm.
He's explained to me that most of the high-priced drugs that are advertised on television have a generic equivalent that's almost as good and a heck of a lot cheaper. And the reason they advertise is to get you to buy the more expensive stuff. So the first thing is, we as a nation, in order to save money, ought to be buying generics. Secondly, give someone who absolutely wants that name brand, give them the option of buying it, but they pay the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a fair compromise. Second thing is, not that long ago, back when the Republicans were running the House, they passed a prescription drug benefit. And in fairness, I voted against it and the Democratic version because neither one was paid for.
Mm-hmm.
But buried in that bill was a provision that actually prohibited the United States government from using its huge purchasing power to get a better price from the pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. Walmart uses its purchasing power because it buys so much, it gets the prices down on the things it's buy, as does Sears, as do all the big stores. So why doesn't your nation do it? Because they slipped in this provision. Interestingly enough, the guy who slipped it in, a guy named Billy Tozan, went to take a job with the pharmaceutical industry of America, and I'm told he's paid about $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that needs to come off the books. We need to use our purchasing power on the behalf of the citizens to get a better price for the citizens. And the third thing is, what do the insurance companies bring to this equation? I'm willing to let them tell me what they bring to the equation, but what I want to tell them is, you got to compete. And they were given a one-year exemption from the antitrust laws right after World War II, and they've managed to keep it on the books all the way until now. and everybody else competes, whether it's selling televisions, whether it's selling cars, you name it. Everybody else is out there competing. We need the insurance companies to be competing for your business, and they ought to, you know, they should not have an exemption from the antitrust law. So those are the three things I would do if I were king right now to stretch your Medicare dollars.
See, Gene, you should just run for president yourself. That's what I think. I still think that. Thanks so much for being with me today. I appreciate you and love you, and am so glad that you are where you are.
We love you. Give my best to Maria and your beautiful kids.
I certainly will. Thank you very much, Congressman Gene Taylor. What do you think about health care reform? What should we do? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
I got here from Seven Star. I crossed that river just to be where you are. There's only one thing I did wrong. I stayed in Mississippi day.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and we are talking today about national health care. My old boss, Congressman Gene Taylor, says he is not going to go for it. He's a Democrat. He says, I won't go for it. Let me tell you, I know that guy. I have seen that guy in action. I have seen him in everything from the floor of the United States House to being on the campaign trail up against a guy who was dead convinced that Billy Ray Cyrus had stolen from him the lyrics to Achy Breaky Heart. Gene stood his ground, said, I'm not going to intervene in that. I think he's going to stand his ground on this too. Question is, will others? And the bigger question is, when you think about the issue of national health care, how should Christians think about this? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. First up is Amy, who is calling from Orlando, Florida. Amy, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Glad to. What do you think about President Obama's call for national health care?
I am 100% completely against it. And as a Christian, I really get annoyed with the idea that we have to have a moral obligation to provide nationalized health care. I think as Christians, we need to wake up and realize what we need to do is rely more on each other. And rather than relying on the government, every time you see all the time fundraisers for people that can't afford a medical procedure, and that works well. And I think whenever we take responsibility and truly act as Christians again, rather than replacing the government in doing our role, I think that we'll be able to be good stewards of the freedom that the Lord has given us, and that we'll be able to ensure that we continue to have the sanctity of life in our country and be able to provide this care so that we are not relying on the government to do this for us and making decisions that are looking at the dollars instead of sanctity of life.
Now, Amy, would you say the same thing about Social Security and Medicare?
With Social Security and, well, with Medicare, with, first of all, Social Security, it's a system that's embedded.
Uh-huh.
It's something to go back and change. It's not so much the difference with Social Security and Medicare. The government isn't running everything. We still have freedom to go out and to not have the government say you need to have an abortion, or that child is going to be born with a disability or Down syndrome or whatever the case may be, therefore it's not going to justify the cost to deliver it. We won't pay for your health care, but we'll pay for an abortion. And I think when we rely on the government to replace our health care, then rather than having the freedom to make those decisions, that's taking away our freedom.
Okay.
And that's what concerns me the most about it.
All right. Amy says we need to instead have churches taking care of one another when it comes to medical catastrophes and crises and not rely on government health care. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have John on the line. John, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for taking my call. I do agree with the congressman that you just had on there.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a medical facilities auditor, and I know for sure that a portion of the big cost of for Medicare and Medicaid especially is the amount of money that the pharmaceutical companies get the salaries that are paid to these nursing home operators.
Mm-hmm.
1998, one operator was making $1.7 million. That was 1998. And so the government, I believe, has a responsibility to rein that in.
All right. Thanks, John. It's hard for me to get as viscerally upset about the pharmaceutical companies as some people do, because a lot of what the income coming into pharmaceutical companies is about research and development. And so I do agree there's some reform that's needed there, but I also think we do need a top-flight pharmaceutical structure that's coming up with drugs in the United States of America that are then used all over the world. I mean, you think about the drugs that we are using in Africa to combat AIDS and malaria are developed largely in the United States of America because there is a profit incentive. We need to reform it, I agree, but I don't think we need to go overboard. What do you think? How should we as Christians think about national health care? Should we see this as moral obligation, or should we see this as a threat to religious liberty and to Christian principles? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We have Darlene on the line. Darlene, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. I'm totally against national health care. I do work in the medical industry, and mm-hmm. I think that we could expand, you know, the Medicaid system,
mm-hmm.
if that need be. We could also support or perhaps pay more money in funding, like more clinics on sliding descales. There are clinics here, and I know in a number of states that do that. I think we could expand on that,
mm-hmm.
so that if you don't have an income, maybe you don't pay but $5 or maybe no dollars.
Well, what scares you about national health care, Darlene?
$15 copay or something.
What concerns you about national health care? What worries you about
that? Well, first of all, the government doesn't do a lot of things very well.
Yeah.
And they don't handle the Medicaid system very well.
Yeah.
I think the quality of health care will definitely drop. And there'll be a lot of red tape. And if you look at other countries that have that type of system, you don't just go to a doctor when you have cancer. So I think we got to help the poor. I've been very poor before growing mm-hmm. up, so I know about being poor.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, people, that you need something to work towards. So you could say, you know what, right now I have to have assistance
mm-hmm.
because I don't have an income or my income's very low. But I'm working toward getting back into a good job or a good career, and here's part of my benefit, which will
all
be...
Right. Thank you, Darlene. I agree with you that one key aspect of healthcare has to be jobs. It has to be employment. But there is also a very real need for those who are unemployed, for those who are under the poverty line. There are some inadequacies that do need to be reformed. The question is, though, are we going to reform it to the point that it becomes not only unaffordable but also incompetent? And, bigger question, dangerous to the weak. That's what I want to talk about when we come back here in just a few minutes. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We're talking about national health care and the Christian conscience. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Not a lot of time to get this national health care bill passed. The United States Congress claims they're going to have it done by September. We'll see. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking today about national health care. I think there's a bigger issue than simply whether or not we ought to have national health care. And I agree with the concerns about President Obama's plan, not only in terms of what it might do to the medical industry, but also... Even more so, unless The United States Congress works to see to it that the unborn are protected and that medical care is not rationed, so that we have people who are being judged in terms of whether or not their life is worthy of government bureaucracy, then I think this could be very dangerous. But I think there's a bigger issue, even than that. I think that you can see, when you look around and see the kind of emotion that is brought forward when we start talking about health care on both sides, both on the side of those who say, you know, we really ought to protect the healthcare system that we have right now. We've got the best healthcare system in the world, and we ought to protect it. To those who say we need to think about our responsibility to the uninsured and the underinsured, they're both getting at something that is essential to the mission of the church, which is the fact that our Lord Jesus has compassion upon people, not only because of their spiritual condition, but also because of physical suffering. Our Lord Jesus went around proclaiming the kingdom, preaching the gospel, and healing. And I think that we as churches, we don't have the means as churches to take care of cradle to grave health care for people, but we do have the responsibility to grieve with those who are grieving, to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and to show compassion upon people in times of difficulty when it comes to health, when it comes to physical suffering, and when it comes to the kind of anxiety that comes upon people when they're wondering, am I going to be covered in the case of a catastrophe? We need to be the people, regardless of what the government does, willing to welcome one another in, care for one another, and to be there as the presence of Christ. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the issues that matter here on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.